This is podcast number 84 for the Well-Educated Mother's Heart. Hi, I'm Marlene Peterson, and today we're taking a look at Rudyard Kipling. So let's travel to India today by paying a little visit to Rudyard Kipling. Don't you just love that name, Rudyard? Evidently, he was named after the beautiful lake where his father fell in love with his mother, Lake Rudyard. Let me start by giving you your daily sampler from a book called Famous Authors for Young People by Ramon Kaufman, found in the elementary section of World Biographies. You'll find some interesting connecting stories in his life that will begin to interest even your youngest children in him. He's the author of the Just So stories, so named because when he told the stories to his little children, they demanded that the words and the sentences he used were identical to the way he had told the story before. They had to be told just so. So that's why it's called Just So Stories. You'll also recognize him as the author of The Jungle Book, and maybe you're familiar with Captain's Courageous, the story of a spoiled brat who falls overboard from a steamship and gets picked up by a fishing boat, where he's made to earn his keep by joining the crew in their work. He lands on the other side of the ocean, a changed boy. There's a great old classic movie starring Spencer Tracy based on the book. And if you want to help give your older children a look at the people, culture, and varied religions of India, you might interest them in reading the book called Kim, which can be enjoyed by young adults. It's listed as one of the best-loved novels among the British. It's the adventures of an Irish orphan in India who becomes the disciple of a Tibetan monk while learning espionage from the British Secret Service. I noticed there's a free LibriVox recording done by a solo reader. I always avoid the books read by multiple readers, but this might be an option for you. Let me not get too far off track. Here's the sampler. A small boy of English parentage took a walk alone one day in India. He was hardly 4 years of age, but he knew the way to the school in Bombay where his father taught art. Suddenly, a large hen came from the edge of a small valley and sprang at him. Running as fast as he could, he escaped, and when he reached the school, he told his father of the event, sobbing as he spoke. Many a child has kept an early fear through life, but John Kipling, the father of this child, did a wise thing. He wrote a little verse. There was a small boy in Bombay who once from a hen ran away. When they said, "You're a baby," he replied, "Well, I may be, but I don't like these hens of Bombay." Before long, little Rudyard Kipling was laughing about what had happened. Late in his life, he said, "I have thought well of hens ever since." India was Rudyard's birthplace, and he lived there during his first 5 years. In that period, he had native nurses who told him stories about jungle animals, and these stories he did not forget. Another important thing about his early years is the fact that he learned to speak Hindustani. This is the most widely used language in India. When he returned to the country years later, he was able to pick it up again. There was to be a long period in his life in which he saw no more of India. He was to spend most of his childhood in England. In company with his father and mother, Rudyard traveled toward England aboard a paddle-wheel steamboat. That was in the year 1871. The Suez Canal was not in use at the time, so the Kipling family boarded a train to cross a desert at the edge of Egypt to reach another seaport. Then another vessel took them the rest of the way. In England, an old sea captain and his wife were given care of the boy, and he lived at Southsea for the next 6 years. His parents returned to India, where his father went on with his teaching. For a time, Rudyard was treated fairly well. The sea captain was kind to him and took him on long walks. One day he was shown a sailing vessel, which had come back from a trip to the Arctic. The captain's wife was of a different nature. She was ill-tempered and mistreated the lad from India. While at Southsea, England, Rudyard Kipling was sent to day school and learned reading, writing, and arithmetic. From time to time, letters came to him from his parents in India, and they also sent him interesting books. Before long, unhappily, the sea captain died, and Rudyard's life outside school became miserable. The captain's wife showed her ill temper more than before and cuffed the lad around with little or no excuse. If Rudyard had written to his parents about his bad treatment, he no doubt would have been placed in another household. As it was, he seems to have felt that this was the kind of life he was supposed to have. He did not even complain to his aunt when he visited her during school vacations. He enjoyed himself to the limit during a month at her home each year, then went back to the South Sea house. Meanwhile, he had learned to love books, and many a spare hour he spent in reading. At last his mother came from far India to visit him. He was at this time 11 years old. Mrs. Kipling found out about the bad treatment and quickly took him away from the South Sea house. For months he enjoyed her company and felt that heaven on earth had come to him. Having to return to her husband in India, Mrs. Kipling was very careful to leave her son in a better household. Three kind-hearted women who lived together took care of the boy after she left. Soon Rudyard was a student at a new school. He was the only boy there who wore glasses. Although he was teased somewhat, he found good friends at this school. His poor eyesight kept him from taking much part in sports, but he wrote poems and essays which brought him some praise from his schoolmates. The fun, the torments, and the schoolboy pranks must have been remembered clearly years later when Kipling wrote Stocky and Company. This is a story about English school life. Many boys read the book today and discover the wide difference between their own school days and young Rudyard Kipling's. At 16, young Kipling went back to India. There he worked on a small newspaper. When only 21, he became assistant editor of the Allahabad Pioneer, and soon afterward published several of his famous stories, including Plain Tales from the Hills, The Phantom Rickshaw, and Wee Willie Winkie. He also wrote poetry, some of it about India. A favorite poem with many people is Gunga Din. It is a heroic story of a brave Indian water boy who was shot while carrying water to wounded British soldiers in the thick of battle in India. By the year 1892, Rudyard Kipling was a successful young author. He had written books which were widely read and had a large sum of money in a bank. He had been married in London, England, to an American woman and was on his way around the world. The couple had crossed the Atlantic and had enjoyed pleasant days in various parts of Canada, including Vancouver. Leaving Vancouver, they had steamed over the Pacific to Japan. Life seemed most pleasant to them until Kipling went to a bank in Yokohama, a branch of the British bank where he had placed his savings. He had visited the branch bank before and had drawn money, but this time there was a sign on the door. It gave notice of the failure of the bank in England. Now came the question of what to do. "Why not make our home in the United States for a while?" suggested Mrs. Kipling. "I know a place where we could live cheaply." Tickets clear around the world had been purchased, but a refund was obtained. There was enough money to buy passage to the United States, with several $100 left over. So it happened that Rudyard Kipling settled with his wife in a Vermont village, where two of his wife's grandparents had lived years before. They rented a house for $10 and called it Bliss Cottage. In that dwelling, their first child, a daughter, was born. Kipling was now 27 years of age. Settling down to work, he soon began writing stories which grew into his famous Jungle Books. The two Jungle Books contain stories of wild animals in India, where Kipling had spent about half of his life up to that time. In these books, the animals talk together as if they were human beings. After a short stay in America, Kipling returned with his family to England, where he lived until his death in 1936. He was known throughout the world as a poet and teller of tales. There's another simple biography of Kipling you might enjoy sharing with your children, found in the online library, called Kipling, Storyteller of East and West by Gloria Kamen. It reads like a story. In this book, it tells how Puck of Pook's Hill came to be written, which you'll find in the online library under England elementary historical fiction. When Kipling made England his home, the book says, his thoughts turned to England's past, to the story his children had just begun to learn. Taking a pale blue paper and his pen, he began to write a story about the early history of Britain, with Puck, a fairy-like being, as the guide to the past. Puck of Pook's Hill made history come alive. The hill in his story was just beyond the garden, and history was in its very soil. It's English history as a fairy tale. You may want to visit it when you get to month 3. And yes, it was Rudyard Kipling who said, if history was told in the form of stories, it would never be forgotten. The Kiplings had 3 children. Josephine died in New York at the age of 7. Rudyard was himself hospitalized for whooping cough at the time and was not told of Josephine's death until he was recovered, because his wife knew how deeply he would feel the loss. It was Josephine who had repeated her father's bedtime stories to her doll, word for word, and it was for Josephine that he had made up his first Just So stories. After Kipling returned to England, he wrote, I don't think it likely that I will ever come back to America. My little girl loved it dearly, and it was in New York that we lost her. He lost his son Jack in World War I. He was made an officer in the Irish Guards and on his 18th birthday was shipped to France. Less than 1 week later, he was missing in action. No trace of him was ever found. It is believed that he stepped on a landmine and was killed instantly. Rudyard worked through his grief in this sad poem, My Boy Jack. Have you news of my boy Jack? Not this tide. When do you think that he'll come back? Not with this wind blowing and this tide. Has anyone else had word of him? Not this tide. For what is sunk will hardly swim, not with this wind blowing and this tide. Oh dear, what comfort can I find? None this tide, nor any tide. One of my favorite hymns is sung to Rudyard's recessional, written for Queen Victoria's Diamond Jubilee. It's hymn number 80 in my hymn book, God of our fathers known of old, and verse 2 reads, The tumult and the shouting dies, the captains and the kings depart. Still stands thine ancient sacrifice, an humble and a contrite heart. Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. You are also likely familiar with his famous poem, If, in which the last stanza reads, If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings, nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. Kipling died in 1936 at the age of 71. His death was prematurely announced in a magazine, to which he wrote, I've just read that I am dead. Don't forget to delete me from your list of subscribers. Rudyard Kipling, another great soul worth spending time with.